God is good. I will be reading from Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
When I think about our worship service this morning and I think about my own personal response, I would have to say that my response would be this. I must humble myself before God. And I realize that there is a part of me that fights against that and pushes against that, and it's even the work of God to humble me. And he uses his word to do that. I am so grateful for our time of worship. I had someone ask me this week, why do I need to come to church? Why do I need to meet together with the church? And frankly, I think we've experienced it. We do this together. We hear the word of God together. We praise God together. We worship together. And what a blessing it is that God has designed it, that we do this together. And even now, we open up the scripture, the word of God, and we look at it together. And God will work in our hearts this morning through it. Let's ask him to do that right now. Let's go to him and let's pray. Father, thank you for our time of worship. And God, anything that we sing or say or read, and it helps us to look to you and to trust you and depend upon you. God, we know that that glorifies you. Thank you for worship. And as we continue to worship, Father, it's been said a couple of times, this is your holy word. It's open before us this morning. You will speak to us through it. Father, we need not depend upon dreams. We need not depend upon our own thoughts or emotions. We need not depend upon the words of man, but we have before us the Word of God. And Father, we're thankful. Help us now to be humble and to receive it. And by the work of your Spirit, understand it and obey it. See ourselves, but most of all, see you through it. We thank you and praise you for what you'll do. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. 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 Let me remind you this morning of what's happening in the churches of Galatia. False teachers have come into the churches. They are insisting that the believers need more than faith in Jesus Christ. They tell the Galatians that salvation comes by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but that's not all. There's more. You must also be circumcised according to the law of Moses, and you must also keep the feasts according to the law of Moses. So essentially, these Judaizers, as we have labeled them in this study, these Judaizers were adding works to the free grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. They believed that Paul's message of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, was inadequate and not enough. And so they added their requirements. And they said, yes, there must be faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to the law. And brothers and sisters, this happens today. I think I've said this every time I've stood before you in our study of Galatians. This happens today. It is far too easy for us to look at this study in the book of Galatians and to fix our attention on what happened 2,000 years ago. And we need to do that in our study and yet not make the connection to what happens in our lives or in this world today. This happens today. It happens when anyone adds any requirement for salvation to God's grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. We have a term for that, and that term is legalism. It's adding man's work. It's adding obedience to a law or a standard or a requirement for salvation. That's legalism. Now go back to Galatians chapter 3 and look at verses 26 to 29. I want to read this passage because it clearly leads us now into chapter 4. We'll make this connection. Galatians 3, beginning with verse 26. Paul says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, folks, we looked at this last week, but let's just put this together in our thinking. Through faith in Jesus Christ, Paul says, you are sons of God. Now, let me stop here for a moment. Don't get riled up when we look through this passage, because Paul is using this term sons. So if you're sitting here this morning and you say, but wait a minute, I'm a lady, I'm a woman, I'm a daughter, don't get riled up over that, okay? Because it's like when Fred Rodriguez stands in front of us and he says, brothers, he's just not talking to brothers. He's talking to everyone. He's talking to brothers and sisters. This is what Paul's doing. Sons, and yet there's a very important meaning to this. And we'll see it this morning as we look at this passage. You are sons of God, verse 26, and you are heirs according to the promise, verse 29. So let this sink in. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we now have this amazing relationship with God. We are sons and we are heirs. Now the question, I believe, that Paul is dealing with here, and we will deal with it this morning, is this. Why would anyone want to go back under the law? Why would anyone want to lay aside or disregard the gospel of God's grace that brings this special relationship with God? Why would anyone want to do that? And don't lose the impact of this question, because that's exactly what the Galatians were doing. And that's exactly what happens when people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, and then they get wrapped up in working to keep that salvation, or working, doing good works, or obeying certain laws or regulations to keep that relationship, or to foster that relationship. That's exactly what happens today. Now, Paul wants the Galatians and us to understand this relationship that we have with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians 4:5. Galatians 4:5. I want you to see what Paul calls this relationship. Galatians 4:5. Look at the verse, last part of that verse. He calls it the adoption as sons. The adoption as sons. And I would submit to you this morning that we need to understand this adoption. By no means will we go into great detail this morning with the time that we have, but there's truth here in this passage that's important to us and will encourage us in the gospel as we understand adoption. Now let's look at these truths in Galatians chapter 4. First of all, I want you to see, as this passage begins, Paul describes who we were before. So look at verses 1 through 3. Here's what he says. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now Galatians chapter 3 ends with those wonderful words of position, and we've read that. Paul says, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And now he begins to describe what it means to be heirs. He wants those Galatians and he wants us to understand what it means to be an heir. We are heirs according to the promise. So Galatians 4 then begins with an illustration of how we became sons and how we became heirs. Now the main point of the illustration is this. This is who we were before we came to Christ. And if you look closely at these words in Galatians chapter 4 verses 1 through 3, there is a truth that stands out. Before we came to Christ, we were like slaves. We were in bondage. That's our lives before the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ came. We were like slaves. We were in bondage. Now, consider this illustration. We'll look at the verses here just in a moment, but there's some background that I think we need to understand. Paul gives this truth now to the Galatians. We're not the Galatians. We're not 2,000 years ago, So we need to understand this. We need to understand where he's coming from. In Judaism, a boy passed from childhood to manhood shortly after his 12th birthday. And he became what was known as a son of the law. He was treated as an adult in Jewish society. The Jewish people in the Galatian church, they understood this. When Paul used this illustration, they understood this. We need to understand it. In the Greek world, the minor came of age later at about 18 years old. And there was this same emphasis in Greek society on entering into full responsibility as an adult. There was a festival called the Apaturia in which the child passed from the care of his father to the care of the state with full responsibility as an adult. See, those Greek people in the Church of Galatia, they understood this. They knew this. Under Roman law, there was also a time for the coming of age of the son. But the age in which this took place was not fixed. In Roman society or in Roman culture, the father had the responsibility in setting the time of the son's maturity. That was entirely up to the father in Roman culture. And a Roman child became an adult at the sacred family festival called the Liberalia. And at this time, the child was formally adopted by the father as his acknowledged son and heir. Actually, when I read through the illustration that the Apostle Paul gives here, I really think it's geared more toward Roman culture. And you see the churches of Galatia, that area of Galatia, it was influenced heavily by Roman culture. When the child was a minor in the eyes of the law, that's the word that Paul actually uses in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, as long as he is a child or a minor, that's the word he uses, his status was actually no different than that of a slave. That's pretty hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? And yet that was ancient culture. That was ancient society. And though he was the future owner of a vast estate, he was still treated like a slave. In verse 2, Paul even makes this statement. He says he's under guardians and stewards. Those guardians and those stewards, they were actually slaves. Get this now. They were slaves who had authority over the child. And so if you have slaves who have the authority over the child, where does the child stand in that order? But that was the ancient society. That's what took place. The child could make no decisions. He had no freedom until the time was set by the father. He was treated like a slave. By the way, slaves were, in comparison, when you look at Roman society, some slaves were treated pretty well. So don't think of a terrible treatment to this child. And yet the truth of the matter, slaves were slaves. So this child then was treated like a slave. He was treated like he was in bondage. He was treated like one of the servants. Now the application of this illustration, I think, is obvious. Paul actually helps us. Look at verse 3. He says, even so we, when we were children, see, now he makes the application. When we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And so the person under the law or under the basic principles or elements or even spirits of the world was like a child or a slave. They were held in bondage. That, I believe, is Paul's point here. They were held in bondage. And brothers and sisters, that's what the law does. That's what a system of works does. Think about it. You can never do enough in a system of works. If you're trusting in works, if you're trusting in your own efforts to be right with God, you can never do enough. And that means you have to do and do and do and do and keep doing. You can never be good enough. Because there's always this question that lingers in your mind. If you're under this system of works and you're under this system of doing to be right with God, there's always this question, am I doing enough? Or am I doing the right things? Or are the good things that I'm doing, are they more than the bad things that I do? You see, it's bondage. It's a slavery in that system. And this is what trusting in works does. And folks, this describes us apart from God's grace that's come to us in Christ Jesus. So Paul's point is that this is what the believers in Galatia, this is what they've done. They are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:26. They are heirs of promise, Galatians 3:29. And this is the result of the gospel. But they had gone back. They had moved away from the gospel. They believed the false teaching of the Judaizers and they put themselves back under the law. And so they once again were living like minor children and slaves. They were in bondage. And folks, that's exactly what happens to us when we disregard the grace of God in the gospel. This is what happens when we trust in our own works or the keeping of law or obedience to regulations for our standing with God, we go back to bondage. Perhaps I should ask the question, do you want to go back to bondage? I think the obvious answer is what? No. No. But see, we've said this in previous studies. There is a part of us, there's a bent in us that moves us toward our own works and our own efforts and trying to be right with God through those efforts. So the question then is, well, what can be done? How could these Galatian believers be corrected? So look at the next truth, the second truth that we see in this passage. I want you to see that Paul describes what God did for us. Look at verses 4 and 5. So here's what Paul says. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, when we read verses 4 and 5 and we ask, well, what can be done? Then the answer has to be the gospel. That's the answer. And what we have here in verses 4 and 5 is Paul's description of the gospel. Now, he describes it in other places, but here to these Galatians, he gives this summary view, this description of the gospel. And look at how he describes it. He says, first of all, but when the fullness of the time had come. And so Paul's statement here, I think, connects with verse 2 when he said, until the time appointed by the Father. You see, he's connecting with their experience, with their society, with what they understand. So the fullness of time refers to the completion of the period of preparation in God's timetable of redemption. And folks, what that means then is this, that when everything was right and when everything was prepared and when the law had done its work, when everything was ready religiously and culturally and politically, when the time came that God the Father set, then God acted and God moved. And what did God do? Look at the second phrase. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, Paul's talking here about the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice quickly how he describes Him. First of all, he says God sent forth His Son. Now most people, especially Jewish people in ancient society, when they saw that phrase, His Son, they knew exactly what Paul was talking about. He was talking about His deity. He was saying that His Son was God. He is divine. He is deity. He is God's Son. He is God the Son. He is full deity. That's what Paul means with that statement. God sent forth His Son. And by the way, notice where the emphasis is. God sent His Son. God sent His Son. He also says He is born of a woman. You realize in just a couple phrases, Paul gives us just an amazing description of Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He is born of woman. He is humanity. He is fully God and fully man. And then, in another short statement, he says He is born under the law. He is born into Israel. He was under obligation to obey and to be judged by conformity to God's standard in the law. But the question is why? Why did God do this? Why did God send Him? Look what Paul says, verse 5. For what reason was He sent? Verse 5 says, to redeem those who were under the law. Look at that word, redeem. You know, it's one of those words you could spend several teaching times or several sermon times in describing or illustrating or teaching about this word redeem. That word is so important. Paul used it in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, when he said that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. But think about this word redeem. Redeem. The word means to buy out or to buy back. It was used of slaves whose freedom was purchased. And so through the payment of a required price, slaves were redeemed. They were bought out of the slave market, or they were bought back out of slavery, and they were given freedom. So what is Paul talking about here? What does he mean? He means this, that Jesus Christ paid the full price. That Jesus Christ paid the required price. The slave master here is the law, and Christ pays our full price to the law. He completely fulfills the law's demands. He pays its penalty for our forgiveness. He lives it perfectly for our righteousness. And so it means that He fulfilled everything that the law required of Him. And brothers and sisters, again, this is why it's so foolish for the Galatians to go back to the law. And this is why it's so foolish for us to put ourselves under the law. Jesus Christ fulfilled everything that the law required. Now, in essence, those Judaizers, those false teachers, and the Galatians now who followed that false teaching, they were saying that Christ is not enough. His redemption was not complete. His work was not sufficient. Now let's make sure that we understand this morning, because it is so important. When we trust in Christ and our works and our obedience and our keeping of the law and anything, we're saying that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not enough to save us. Now, let that run through your mind, because I hope you see the seriousness of this. That when we put our trust in ourselves, when we put our trust in our works or our efforts or the keeping of laws, even laws that we set up ourselves in our own hearts and minds, when we do that, we are declaring that Jesus Christ is not enough. And more is required for salvation. And that's exactly what they were doing in Galatia. And Paul is abundantly clear. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. And this redemption is full and complete. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ. Now notice the third truth in the passage. Paul reminds of the Galatians and us who we are now. So look at verses 5 through 7. The last part of verse 5 through verse 7, Paul says that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. So Paul says, in the last part of verse 5, he says that, see, this is why God sent the Son. This is why redemption took place. In the verse 5, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Folks, this is the result of redemption. And what a result it is. Those who have been bought out of slavery now have the full status as sons. The word that Paul uses here actually is a legal term, and it means literally the placing of a son. And that son has all rights and all privileges. This is a full adult son. See, that's what happened in Roman society. A childless, wealthy man could take one of his servants and adopt him. If he had no children, he could take one of his servants and adopt him. And at the moment of adoption, that slave ceased to be a slave and legally became a son, a full son. Yes. See, that's what happened in Roman culture. And he received all of the financial and legal privileges of the estate as the son and as the heir. Yes. And though by birth he was a slave without a relationship to the father, he now receives legal status as a son. And it's a new life. And it has new privilege. He has moved from being a slave to a son. Let me say this to you, that if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, this is you. Amen. This is me. We were slaves. Slaves to the law, in bondage to the law. Slaves to sin, in bondage to sin. We served a slave master who was Satan. And God, by His grace, in sending His Son Jesus Christ, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem us, has now changed our status and changed our position. And we have moved from being slaves to sons of God and heirs of the promise. It is a new life and a new privilege. And this is a remarkable picture of what Jesus has done for us. Now, it's easy, and I think it's common in our lives as believers, to think of our salvation only in terms of the transfer from us of our sin. See, we often focus on that, and praise God for that. What a work that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. But Paul helps us here, because our salvation is also the transfer to us of the Son's rights and privileges. And when I say the Son, I'm talking about Jesus, the Son. And rights and privileges of the Son are transferred to us. You see, Paul wants to show the Galatians and us that not only did Christ remove the curse that we deserved, but Christ also gives us the blessing that He deserved. This is what God's done for us. So we are sons and we are heirs and we are in God's family and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the fullness of the gospel is that we are not only pardoned, but we are positioned with all the rights and the privileges of sons. Our slate has been wiped clean, and Jesus has written His righteousness on it. You see, that's the truth of the gospel, and that's the truth of a full salvation. Our inheritance is not a prize to be won. It is a gift of God through Jesus Christ. And now, you know what? If that's not enough, there's more, and the Apostle Paul continues. Look at verse 6. And he says, and because you were sons, there's the connection, because you were sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so the work of the Son of God brings us into an objective legal condition. We are adopted. We are sons. That's our status. That's our position objectively. But folks, the work of the Spirit of God's Son in us brings us now to a subjective experience. You see, God not only sent His Son for us, but God sent His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son for us. And the Spirit is sent into our hearts, into the inner man, the control center, And from the depths of our hearts, from our innermost being, the Spirit of God cries out, and we cry out with Him, Abba, Father. And Abba is an Aramaic word which means Papa, Daddy. It signifies a love and an assurance of welcome and care and provision and protection. And just as a young child simply assumes that a parent loves them and is there for them and never doubts the security and openness of Daddy's strong arms, so we Christians have the certainty of God's love and God's care. And don't miss this, folks. Paul uses the term Abba, and it's the same word that Jesus often used in speaking to His Father. And that means, brothers and sisters, that we can approach the Father and relate to the Father and call out to the Father just like Jesus did. Abba, Papa, Daddy, Dad. And how does Paul describe it? Look at verse 7. See, all that is Christ's is ours. And here's how he describes it, verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. I tell you what, you could stop right there and you could leave this meeting and you could rejoice for the next 1,000 years for that statement. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Folks, this is our position in Christ. We are no longer slaves. We are sons. We are heirs of God through Jesus Christ, and God treats us as He treats Jesus. And God looks at us as He looks at Jesus. And this is what we call full sonship. By God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us everything that His Son possesses. You see, it goes right back to that truth we talked about a couple weeks ago. When we are joined to Jesus Christ by God's grace through faith, when we're in union with Jesus Christ, everything changes. Amen. Everything changes. See, we're in union with Jesus. So why go back to slavery? Why go back to bondage? Why go back to the demands of the law and works? We are sons of God and heirs of God through Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are adopted into God's family. And God is our Papa. God is our Daddy. I recently read a story about a Christian family that adopted a little 8-year-old girl. Now, the big challenge was this. She had been previously adopted by another family. And there were a couple of really rough years with that little girl. And then that first family decided to dissolve the adoption. And so this Christian family, they welcomed this little 8-year-old girl into their home. Now, for one reason or for another, whenever the previous family had vacationed at Disney World, they took their biological children with them and they left the adopted daughter with a family friend. Now, usually, at least in the mind of the little girl, this happened because she did something wrong and therefore she was left out. And so this little 8-year-old girl, she knew about Disney World. She had pictures of Disney World. She had heard about Disney World, but she had never been to Disney World. And so the new father made plans for a family trip to Disney World with the whole family. Now he thought he was prepared for all the excitement and all the anticipation by all the children for this trip to Disney, but he was not prepared for the response of his new daughter. For a month before the trip, her behavior was awful. She lied, she stole, she insulted, she hurt the other children, and it became worse and worse as the trip came closer. A couple of days before they were to leave, the father lifted his new daughter onto his lap to speak to her about her latest disobedience. And when he did that, she quickly said to him, "I know what you're going to do. You're not going to take me to Disney World, are you?" That thought had never crossed the father's mind. Then the father realized what was happening. She knew she could not earn her way into that magical kingdom. She had tried many times before and failed. So she was living in a way that placed her as far as possible from a trip to Disney World. And so the father asked her this question: "Is this something that we're doing as a family?" She nodded her head, "Yes." "Are you a part of this family?" And again, she nodded her head, "Yes." "Then you're going with us. And there'll be some consequences for your behavior, but you are a part of our family, and we are not leaving you behind." Now, it would have been nice if her behavior had gotten better, but it got worse. They arrived at Disney World, and it was more than the kids dreamed about. The first day was simply amazing. In the hotel room that evening, there was a very different little 8-year-old girl. She was exhausted, she was weepy, and her month-long rebellion had ended. And when bedtime rolled around, the father prayed with her and held her, and he asked her this question: "So how was your first day at Disney World?" And she closed her eyes, and she snuggled down into her stuffed unicorn. And after a few moments, she opened up her eyes just a little, and she said, "Daddy, I finally got to go to Disney World. And it wasn't because I was good. It was because I'm yours." That, brothers and sisters, is adoption. Amen. That's what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. The question that we have to ask ourselves then is this: how are you living? How are we living? Are we living like slaves, or are we living like sons? By God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, we are no longer in bondage. We have been redeemed by the Son of God. We are adopted. We are fully sons. And we are heirs of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is adoption. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, what can we say this morning but thank you? What can we do this morning but praise you? God, may we humble ourselves before you, realizing that we deserve none of these privileges, none of these blessings, but because you have redeemed us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have worked in our hearts, and you have removed the blindness and the darkness, and we have come to you through Jesus. Oh, Father, we have this relationship. May we live it with thankfulness. May we live it with joy. God, may our lives show that we are no longer slaves, but we are sons of God and heirs of promise. To you be glory for all of this through Jesus Christ. Father, work in our hearts as only you can. Encourage your children. Encourage them and help them this morning. If they've been dragged back into a system of works, help them, God, to turn away from that and to look to you, to continue to live by faith in the Son of God who loved them and gave himself for them. God, if there's anyone here today who's never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, you have brought them here today to hear and to see this clear truth from your word that they too can be adopted into your family through faith in Jesus Christ. And God, may that take place today. We praise you and thank you for this great and marvelous salvation through our Savior Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.